Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's sermon? We all need a quiet place. Based on our gospel reading, especially this one verse. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus arose and went out to a quiet place, and he was praying there. I invite you this morning to look at your worship handout. On that handout, you'll find the sermon outline. You can follow on along with the outline. You can also see how close we are to the end of the sermon. When I was a young boy growing up in the eastern part of Washington State, we had a dairy farm. My grandparents had a dairy farm in a little area called Green Acres, Washington. Now, some of you of my generation don't think of Zsa Zsa Gabor and Eddie Albert and Arnold the Pig on the TV show Green Acres. There was an area called Green Acres. And there were times, especially when I was a young teenage boy, I needed to get away from my parents, my grandparents. I needed a place to go to think the deep thoughts of growing up. And so I found a hillside overlooking our farmland and the pasture where I could go to be alone and to think and to pray and to think the deep thoughts of a young man growing up. Today, on many mornings, my quiet place of reflection is on one of the running trails, either in Ladner or in Richmond, when I have time to pray and to think and to be alone with my God all by myself. And when the warm summer weather arrives, oh Lord, bring it on. My favorite quiet place is a bench. At the south end of True Road, as it hits the Fraser River, I have a bench there where I go to think, to read, and to pray, and to have quiet time with my God. How wonderful it is for each of us to have a quiet place. A quiet place without telephones, without computers, without other people knocking at your door, without your never-ending to-do list. Perhaps this is why I and many, maybe many of you are drawn to this gospel reading for today, that describes the day that Jesus got up early and left all the people and demands aside and went out early in the morning to a quiet place to pray to his Father in heaven. This place is described in the Bible by a number of different words that tries to capture that single Greek word that can be translated quiet, solitary, lonely, desolate, or wilderness place. In the pages of the New Testament Gospels, this is the kind of place that people go out to come to grips with the situation. And it's not just always a place of calm retreat. It can be a place also of difficult decision. It's to this kind of solitary, quiet, lonely, desolate place that John the Baptizer called people to come out to repent of their sins, to turn from going their direction, to go in the direction of God and be baptized in the River Jordan. It's to this kind of quiet, desert, lonely place that Jesus went just before he began his public ministry, there to be tempted by the devil, to forsake the way of God that will lead him to the cross. And in today's reading for today, Jesus is in yet another quiet place. And temptation comes to our Lord again in this quiet place, but not in the way we might expect. Listen again to our gospel reading. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus arose and went out to a quiet place. And he was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him, and they said to him, Jesus, come out, please. Everybody is looking for you. They wouldn't leave him alone. Now, this seems such like an innocent sentence. Lord Jesus, everyone is looking for you. But it's more than just an interruption of Jesus' needed quiet time. It also presents for him a big temptation. Did you listen to the gospel reading this morning? Jesus had just done some wonderful things in a town called Capernaum. He had preached a powerful sermon. He had healed people of many diseases. He had cast out demons. He was famous in Capernaum. He was loved. He was popular. But now in this quiet place, Jesus went to find some time for himself. And he had a decision he had to make. He had a choice of two different paths. Path number one, back to Capernaum with a life where he was loved and popular and accepted and the crowds adored him. Or path number two, on to Jerusalem, to a hill called Calvary, and an appointment with the cross. Jesus' choice in this quiet place was a choice between the kingdom of self and the kingdom of God. His decision is found in verse 38. And he said to them, let us go somewhere else, to the towns that are nearby, in order that I may preach there also, for that is why I have come. Translation. I came to this quiet place to think and pray and to decide. It's now time to do what I've been sent to do. I won't take the easy way out and go back to Capernaum where everybody loves me and life is easy and I'm famous. I'm going to go on to other places that need the demonstration and proclamation that the kingdom of God is here. I will take a path that will eventually lead me to a cross. I will give up the kingdom of self for the kingdom of God. My friends, in this simple little text, did you catch it? We find the heart and soul of the entire story of Scripture, the gospel message, in Jesus' own words about himself. In Luke 19:10, he says, for I, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save those who are lost. When we follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there will be for us times of choice and decision. There will come for us quiet places to which we need to go to decide, will I go God's way or mine? Where we will have to choose between the kingdom of self and the kingdom of God. Sometimes these quiet places will be places of upset and disturbance. Sometimes these quiet places to which we may go will be places we would never choose to go unless we were compelled to go there. Places like a troubled home life, a lost job, a financial crisis, a loved one in pain, a nagging health problem, an uncertain future. Some of these quiet places to which we are driven are places of temptation and also choice and decision. And sometimes it may seem that the only godly decision is to keep the problem to yourself, to suffer in silence, to mutter, "Oh, it must just be God's will that I suffer all alone." But we need to be careful. Sometimes what seems most godly is the very temptation we need to avoid. Sometimes when our quiet place is a place of upset and disturbance, it's time not to suffer alone and in silence. It's time to cry out to God and to others. And we might just be surprised in God's answer that we discover. In a book entitled The Town Beyond the Wall, there's a rebellious character in the story who has experienced for himself his own quiet place of personal suffering. And he chooses not to bear it in silence. He cries out loudly, "Things are just not right, God. You are not fair, God." And it seems to anybody reading this novel, this man is going to turn his back on God and go his own way. But then this man turns to the readers and confesses out loud to those who are reading this book, "You know, I want to blaspheme. I want to scream at God and take his name in vain. But I cannot. I go up to God ready to shake my fist. But then I see his face, his holy face upon that cross. And my shout of blasphemy becomes for me a prayer of faith, even in spite of me." Now, my friends, most of the time, our quiet places are not such dramatic places of disturbance. They are quieter and more gentle, more close to our normal daily living. But these places can still be places of important decision for us. I remember a wise old pastor. Well, I've got to be one of those adjectives, an old pastor, maybe someday wise. But I remember a wise old pastor who was once asked by somebody, "Pastor, where was the Garden of Eden located?" He was asked the place, where was it that Adam and Eve went to hide from God when God came looking for them after they sinned and rebelled to ask them the question, "Where are you?" "Pastor, where's that at? Where's the Garden of Eden?" And the pastor said, "I can tell you, the Garden of Eden is located at 215 North Elm Street." The questioner found the answer ridiculous. He said the Garden of Eden must be located somewhere in the ancient Near East. "No," the pastor said, "I can guarantee you it is located at 215 North Elm Street. Because it was there as a young boy. He stole money from his mother's purse. And he went to the store and spent all the money on candy. And when he came home, he felt so ashamed, he hid from his mother in the hall closet. And it was there to that closet that his mother came and said, 'Where are you? Why are you hiding? What have you done?'" The Garden of Eden, the quiet place, the place of temptation and decision for him was 215 North Elm Street. My friends, the quiet place can also be for us the place where we decide to follow God's way or to go our own way. And let me let you in on a little secret. Did you know the quiet place can also come for you right in the middle of a sermon. A pastor named Bill Willimon one day got a phone call from a very upset church member. The man said that his daughter, Anne, had just decided to drop out of medical school with just 1 year to go. She had come home for the weekend and come to Sunday worship with her mother and her father. And after Sunday service, she informed her parents of her big decision. Oh, so the man was on the phone and he said, "Pastor, you got to talk some sense into her." It's amazing how often that happens. Somebody has a problem. "Pastor, talk some sense into him." The next day, Pastor Willimon sat down with Anne. And he asked her, "How was it she came to this big decision?" And she replied, "Well, Pastor, it was your sermon yesterday." She went on to describe her own quiet place right in the middle of his sermon. She admitted that she went to medical school for the main reason to make a lot of money. But his sermon was about God's call on each of our lives to be a service to Him. And she said, right in the middle of the sermon, in her quiet place, she began to think about a satisfying summer she spent teaching new immigrants how to read and write the English language. So she decided to leave medical school and dedicate herself to serving these people. The pastor was deep in thought over her words. And then, without thinking, the pastor said to her, "Anne, I was just preaching." Yikes. Just preaching? If preaching does not move people to deeper faith and a change in the way they live, then what, for goodness sake, is the use of preaching? Just ask my dear wife, Beverly. I can't see where you're sitting today. Raise your hand. Way in the back. Hi there. Just ask the most beautiful pastor's wife I know. How many times in a Sunday afternoon home from worship I ask her this question: is my preaching really making any difference in the lives of these people? Indeed, it's just preaching. If during this once a week, 20-minute quiet time, your attention is not on your personal appointment with Almighty God, because in every sermon, God has a divine appointment just for you, where He's come today to speak to your heart. Don't be distracted by whatever is competing for your attention. Don't allow the devil to use these distractions to rob you of the riches of God's message He has just for you. But when you set aside the special 20 minutes every Sunday and focus on the voice of God's Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, He will meet you here. And He will grant you a quiet time in a quiet place where He can speak to your heart and make a difference in your life. Amen. My friends, it's my fervent prayer that in each and every Sunday sermon, God will direct you to His way. To His way for your Monday through Saturday lives, in every quiet place of your life where you have to make a choice. Because while in His own precious but brief quiet time and quiet place, away from the crowds, away from the demands, with His Father in heaven in prayer, Jesus chose not to stay in Capernaum and take the easy way. He chose to go on to the way that finally took Him to the cross, where there He defeated for you the power of sin and death and devil forever. He made this choice for you in this quiet place. And today, He invites you. When you are in your quiet place of decision, to follow Him, you will be glad you did. In the name of Jesus, amen.